One day, all of a sudden, the weather turned very, very stormy. It was storm and rain, and due to the storm, the electric poles got broken somewhere, and the electricity supply got disrupted, and the whole city was plunged into darkness. There was no light anywhere. There was no electricity anywhere. And Prabhupada was feeling very, very annoyed that there was no light, there was no electricity, and at night he could not translate. Because Prabhupada needed electricity to translate. He needed the light and he needed the power for his dictaphone. Because his dictaphone was not battery operated, it was electrically operated. And then I thought at least Prabhupada could get some light at night. So the next day I went to the Haridwar, which was about, I think, 7-8 kilometers from Rishikesh. But I had to go across, I went across the Ganges and then went to Haridwar, thinking that if I could get some lamp there. And I got a Petromax. Petromax is the kind of a light which you put kerosene or petrol and pump it, and it has a filament. It heats up the filament and gives a very bright light. So I arranged to hire one Petromax and brought it. But by the time I came back, it was quite late, and there was no boat to go across the river. Wondering what to do. So I decided that I would go to Lakshman Jhula. Lakshman Jhula is a bridge across the Ganges, which was on the other end of the city, other end of Rishikesh, and which was probably 1 kilometer walk. So I went, and there was nothing, and it was stormy, and there was a strong wind, and the Ganges is way below the bridge, and this bridge is a hanging bridge. And so when I was walking with the storm, the bridge was swaying. It was quite scary, actually, that the bridge was swaying and I had to balance myself walking. And then I went to the other side of the river, and then I had to walk through the kind of forest path to where our house was. And I was walking, and for some reason, those days I also did not use shoes or chappals so much. And so I was walking barefoot. So one shopkeeper saw me. And it was a small little shop, and they had some kerosene lamp burning. And so that man asked me where I was going. So I told him that I was going to the place, I think, is called. Anyway, I told him where I was going, which was about almost 1 kilometer walk through the forest path. And so he said that, look, that path is full of scorpions and snakes, and you are walking barefoot. So I said, well, I have to go. Then I said, can I buy a pair of slippers anyway? I thought if I was wearing slippers, then the scorpion won't be able to sting. So he said, even if you wear shoes, the scorpions can, they can be quite dangerous. He suggested that I don't walk through that path. And also there was no light and there was no way I could actually find the path. And anyway, I didn't have any experience, so to say, walking in that kind of roads. And during the day, sometimes I used to go for a walk in that path on the other side of the river. Nowadays, of course, those places have become filled with houses and temples and dharamshalas and hotels. But those days, there was nothing. In last 30 years, things have changed so much in India. Recently, I went to Rishikesh. Couldn't recognize the place. The place where Prabhupada was staying in Ganga Darshan, the name of the house. It was the most beautiful house those days. And now in the cluster of houses, so many big things, hotels and houses have come up that you can barely recognize that place anymore. It looks like one of the insignificant houses covered over by towering structures of hotels and dharamshala. And so then I decided not to. Actually, that man persuaded me, and other people also came out. There were some other people came out, and they also said that I should not walk through that path. And so I again walked back. It was quite late. Quite late means must have been about 9 or 9:30. But there, by 7 o'clock, everything practically comes to a standstill. And so 9:30 was quite late. So I started to walk back and towards the ghat opposite to the house, which was a ferry. There used to be a ferry ghat across to take go across the river. And when I came close to that place, I heard the sound of a motorboat. So I just ran and I saw that one motorboat was coming to this side of the river. And it so happened that one government official was there, went there, and he had to come. He came and to bring him across the river. They brought him in that boat. And when I asked them to take me across, and they took me across. And that's how I went back. And I went back to the house, I lit the Petromax. And it gave some light, but still Prabhupada couldn't translate because the dictaphone was not working, and Prabhupada used to translate on dictaphones. And finally Prabhupada decided not to translate, not just to go to sleep. When Prabhupada used to sleep at night, one of us used to always be with Srila Prabhupada. And my turn was from 12 to 2 at night. And so I was attending Srila Prabhupada. So it must have been around 1 o'clock or so. And I was just sitting there. And when we were attending Srila Prabhupada, we couldn't sleep. We had to just sit, and just in case Prabhupada needed something. And so I was just sitting there and I heard Prabhupada calling me. So I went to Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada was on his bed under the mosquito net. And that time Prabhupada told me, the time has come for me to leave the planet, leave this world. And I want to leave my body in Vrindavan. So please make arrangements to take me to Vrindavan. So that statement from Srila Prabhupada was so shocking, I didn't know what to do. I immediately ran downstairs, woke up Tamal Krishna Maharaj, and told him that this is how Prabhupada was speaking. So Tamal Krishna Maharaj, in great anxiety and haste, just came up to Srila Prabhupada, and Prabhupada told him the same thing. The time has come for me to leave this world. I want to leave my body in Vrindavan. So please make arrangements to take me to Vrindavan. We didn't know what to do, so we just, Prabhupada wanted to go to Vrindavan, so we had to comply. And that night only we packed up everything. In the morning, Tamal Krishna Maharaj and I went to Haridwar, thinking that if we could arrange a train for Srila Prabhupada. But we thought that we will get a first class compartment, whole compartment for Srila Prabhupada to travel, because traveling by train would be more comfortable than driving. But there was no, what to speak of an entire whole compartment, there was not even one first class seat available. So we, totally disheartened, we came back and then decided to travel by car to Delhi. And I remember when you're crossing the river by boat, all the time I was just chanting Jai Prabhupada, Jai Srila Prabhupada, Jai Prabhupada, Jai Prabhupada. And just on my own, I was just chanting. Prabhupada seemed to have liked it. He was looking at me and smiling. And then Prabhupada came to Delhi and he stayed there for that night. That night, Prabhupada slept on the roof. Prabhupada used to like to, it was hot during the summertime, Prabhupada used to like to sleep on the roof. And so Prabhupada was lying on his bed and I was just attending him, sitting nearby, chanting. So at one point Prabhupada called me, said that, "You also lie down." So I just laid on that roof next to Srila Prabhupada's bed on the floor, on the roof, and I slept. I don't know when I woke up, Prabhupada was already up. Or maybe Prabhupada called me and woke me up, and he wanted to go down to wash and take bath. And then we left for Vrindavan in the morning. In the meantime, Tamal Krishna Maharaj called Adikeshav Swami, who was the GVC of New York at that time, and told him about Prabhupada's plan, that he wanted to go to Vrindavan to leave his body. And he asked Adikeshav to inform all the temples. In this way, this shocking news spread all over the world like a lightning. So the next day, Prabhupada left for Vrindavan.